grasshopper is able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The FAA's WASP program reaches a significant milestone. And Lockheed Martin's Prepared is now compatible with ForeFlight Mobile. This is Aero News for Thursday, December 27, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. SpaceX's Grasshopper took a 12-story leap toward full and rapid rocket reusability in a test flight conducted December 17, 2012, at SpaceX's Rocket Development Facility in McGregor, Texas. Grasshopper, SpaceX's vertical takeoff and landing vehicle, rose 131 feet, the equivalent of a 12-story building, hovered and landed safely on the pad using closed loop thrust vector and throttle control. The total test duration was 29 seconds. This flight marks a significant increase over the height and length of hover of Grasshopper's previous test flights. In September, Grasshopper flew to 6 feet, and in November, it flew to 17.7 feet, two stories, including a brief hover. SpaceX's ultimate goal is to verify the Grasshopper RLV's ability to perform a VTVL mission at high altitudes and higher ascent speeds and descent speeds. To achieve this, the maximum mission test altitude would be increased to 11,500 feet. The maximum test duration would be approximately 160 seconds. To succeed, the Grasshopper RLV would land back on the launch pad. Testing of Grasshopper will continue, with successively more sophisticated flights expected over the next several months. Pilots flying all types of aircraft are now able to reach more runways in low-visibility conditions than ever before. The FAA says that last month, the Wide Area Augmentation System, or WASP, program exceeded 3,000 localizer performance with vertical guidance, that's LPV, approaches published. This is significant because of the safety and capacity benefits of WASP-enabled approaches. WASP now provides vertically guided approach capability at more than 1,500 airports, bringing aircraft to as low as 200 feet above the runway surface. Some airports do not qualify for LPVs because of obstructions or terrain. In those cases, the FAA is using WASP localizer performance, or LP, procedures. WASP makes it possible for pilots to use GPS from takeoff through the equivalent of a Category 1 instrument landing system approach. More than 60,000 aircraft are certified to use WASP, which means they are capable of using performance-based navigation, a key component for the FAA's next gen. The use of PBN frees aircraft from the old highways in the sky that are dependent on ground-based beacons, allowing for more direct and fuel-efficient routes. It also provides options for avoiding bad weather or unexpected air traffic congestion. Since becoming operational in 2003, WASP has made remarkable progress. With the consistent development of LPVs and LPs, WASP will continue to enhance safety and enable pilots to fly into places that would have been unavailable just 9 years ago. The same ForeFlight mobile app used for flight planning and en route navigation is now available for Lockheed Martin's Prepared simulation software. Prepared is actually spelled P-E-P-A-R-3-D, and it's a visual simulation platform that allows users to create training scenarios across aviation, maritime, and ground domains. Users can train anywhere in the virtual world from underwater to suborbital space. ForeFlight Mobile is an app used by pilots and flight operators to gather pre-flight weather information, plan flights, conduct pre-flight research, file flight plans, and keep in-route charts and terminal procedures up to date. With FSX Flight as the interface, prepared aircraft position information is sent to ForeFlight Mobile's app, providing a moving map electronic flight bag. With the app, the user can use the ForeFlight Mobile moving map, display aircraft position on taxi diagrams, display aircraft position on selected approach plates. The interface, however, does require the download of FSX Flight to connect Prepared to ForeFlight Mobile. America's seaplane city, Tavares, Florida, hopes to gain wider recognition of its official brand, and with Progressive Aerodyne manufacturing the popular Sea Ray amphibious airplane on the shores of Lake Dora, they may have moved a step closer toward their goal. Sea Ray, which won classification as an LSA from the FAA in November, will be joined in Central Florida by Italico Aviation USA, which will build LSAs in Kissimmee, Florida, and Whip Air plans a service center in Leesburg. The city has already rebranded itself to reflect the importance of seaplanes to the local economy, having established a seaplane base in 2010 that has now seen an estimated 3,400 landings over the past 2 years. Now, the Orlando Sentinel reports that the city thinks that the Sea Ray manufacturing facility will be a catalyst for additional economic recovery, not only for Tavares, but the entire region. City Administrator John Drury said that over the next 3 to 5 years, he expects that a seaplane cottage industry will grow up around Tavares, attracting not only aviation, but other businesses to the region. When Aero News continues, what are the odds of getting a job as a Delta flight attendant? AMR is oh so close to emerging from bankruptcy, and comments filed in the ongoing LightSquared case.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, December 27th. I'm Glenn Moyer. When Delta recently posted 300 flight attendant jobs outside the company, the response it got seems to indicate that there are still a lot of people in this country looking for work. The airline received 22,000 applications for the 300 job openings in the first week of the posting, or about 73 hopefuls for every job available. Delta CEO Richard Anderson said in a weekly recorded message to its employees that the applications had arrived at a pace of about 2 per minute, according to Bloomberg Business News. He said that the airline would be seeking new flight attendants with such skills as the ability to speak a second language for the global expansion the carrier has planned. One of the attractions for the jobs, of course, is the perk of flight privileges for employees. This latest round could actually reach as many as 400 positions, according to Delta spokeswoman Betsy Talton. She said up to 30% of those hired will be multilingual, with a focus on candidates able to speak Japanese, Hindi, Mandarin, or Portuguese, along with other languages. The airline said it plans to begin conducting interviews next month, with the new flight attendants making their first flights in June of 2013. In bankruptcy court just before Christmas, Judge Sean Lane placed his stamp of approval on 3 labor contracts between American Eagle Airline and its primary collective bargaining units, the last such agreements that needed approval before AMR Corporation could emerge from bankruptcy. The Dallas Morning News reports that the order applies to labor agreements within American Eagle Airlines and Executive Airlines, both owned by AMR Eagle, and ALPA, AFA-CWA, and the Transport Workers Union. American Eagle CEO Dan Garten said in a message to employees that the ruling will allow the airline to, quote, begin implementing the labor cost savings that are required for our successful restructuring, end quote. It is still not known whether American will merge with U.S. Airways, a move that the APA, which represents American's mainline pilots, has vocally supported. Talks are reportedly underway between the APA and the U.S. Airline Pilots Association, covering issues pertaining to a potential merger. American's management has said consistently that it hopes to emerge from Chapter 11 as a standalone airline. The airlines and their parent company, AMR Corporation, entered bankruptcy in November of 2011. Well, as we reported here earlier, the FCC is again considering a request by LightSquared, this one to modify its ancillary terrestrial component authority, and the company is petitioning the FCC to revise its rules regarding LightSquared's terrestrial use of its mobile satellite spectrum. In layman's terms, LightSquared is asking the FCC to allow it to use frequencies now used by weather balloons and NOAA weather satellites. In a comments filing made just before Christmas, the Coalition to Save Our GPS urged the commission to, quote, address any unresolved issues regarding interference to GPS, end quote, before allowing LightSquared to, again, quote, launch the terrestrial services contemplated, end quote, in its proposals. The coalition stressed that while it fully supports the commission's goal to make more spectrum available for wireless broadband services and remains committed to working with all relevant stakeholders to achieve that goal, such an objective must not come at the expense of critical GPS services. The coalition added, quote, "The commission must ensure that any action it takes in these proceedings represents sound spectrum management," end quote. Sound management from a government commission? Sounds like somebody's been drinking bad Kool-Aid. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.